Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Thursday, June the 11th, 2020. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joe on with me. And I'm going to be doing a special report on Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker, who is running hit teams for the Mossad and the United States government, I believe. And, we had a funny car chase today. One of our assistants, right into their parking lot, secured parking lot garage, right in the back of the prosecutor's office, also where cyber terrorist attacks have been coming up against my website from one of their servers. With that said, we're going to be talking about the State of the Union. And with that said, I'm going to let Professor James Fetzer give his report.
Well, Stu, it's pretty stunning when law enforcement and the district attorney's office and all that is running scams against the American people. I mean, it's outrageous. And you, it seems to me, have gotten far more than your fair share, I think, because you represent a significant threat to those who want to keep all these issues contained, don't want the public to become aware. You have such a loud, clear voice. You enunciate so precisely exactly what's going on. I think you strike fear into their hearts. They're doing their best to intimidate you, but with no success whatsoever, my friend. None.
Well, I want to put out that license number of Gene Baker's assistant, CS3K5B. And it's a red Nissan. We had a nice car chase. I've got it all on videotape. About 80 miles an hour, he was running from me. And when we got downtown towards his office there, I wasn't sure where he was going. I thought federal building. All of a sudden, I got two federal police on me, sneaking up on me, trying to get him room to get away. Well, he didn't get away. I saw where his car went. That said, Jim, what's your report today?
Well, Stu, those are not the only authorities who are abdicating the responsibility to law enforcement. We had the mayor of Seattle instruct the police department to give up their precinct in this Capitol Hill area that Antifa has taken control of, 6 to 8 areas in Seattle. They're issuing all kinds of demands, including abolishing the Seattle Police Department. Here's their first. The Seattle Police Department and attached court system are beyond reform. We do not request reform. We demand abolition. How you're going to deal with those who commit crimes or have them prosecuted or sentenced in accordance with due process of court somehow remains unaddressed. The second demand is no guns, no batons, no riot shields, no chemical weapons to be used against the protesters during the transitional period in which the police department is being dismantled. They also add the following: although we have liberated free Capitol Hill in the name of the people of Seattle, we must not forget we stand on land already once stolen from, and they go on to talk about Seattle Indian tribes. I mean, you know, this is like wanting to correct all the historical injustices of the last several hundred years. The New York Times has given us quite a soft treatment, calling free food, free speech, and free of police inside Seattle's autonomous zone. From their description, Stu, you'd think this was a camping trip. I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. In a neighborhood that's the heart of the city's art and culture, threat these days is rising tech wealth brings in gentrification. Protesters seize the moment. They reversed their barricades to shield liberated streets and laid claim to several city blocks, now known as the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. One block had a designated smoking area. Another had a medic station at the No Cop Co-op. People could pick up free La Croix sparkling water or a snack. Wednesday, Trump tried to portray the scene as something more sinister. He called for the government leaders to crack down on the protesters, declaring on Twitter domestic terrorists have taken over Seattle, which is obviously the case. But the mayor replied, make us all safe, go back to your bunker. The protest zone has increasingly functioned with the tacit blessing of the city. Harold Scroggins, the fire chief, was there on Wednesday chatting with protesters, having set up a call with the police department and making sure they had portable toilets and sanitation services. He admits he has no idea where they're headed, but this is just simply ridiculous. Stu, I used to think the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is that the Democrats represent a maternal side of the family, and the Republicans the fraternal or fatherly side. But actually, the Democrats represent children. This behavior is so infantile, it's like they're throwing tantrums. The Republicans are the adults in the room, and it's just outrageous when we see mayors and governors succumb to their infantile demands.
I'm in agreement. You know, police oversight committees is the way to go, and I published something on, you know, I have Wikipedia up there, but I pushed that years ago, Jim. Civilian police oversight committees, where the civilians themselves, you, me, et cetera, that are not cops, can be part of the team. So if someone's, you know, been beat up by the cops and they have a complaint, they can bring it to the police oversight, civilian police oversight committee, who will investigate it. If they find wrongdoing, they make recommendations for the cops to be prosecuted. In several cities, police brutality stopped as a result of that. Now, it is up on my website, the Wikipedia link that shows the cities that have that. Now, to dismantle the police departments is totally ridiculous. And I want to state that, totally ridiculous. And I want Joe to jump in. You tell him what the FBI crime rate is, black crimes on whites versus white on black, Joe.
Well, they came out from the Department of Justice, the crime statistics, and it is astounding, and it is the exact opposite of what is being portrayed on mass media. And one of the statistics was, and this is the big one, there were 550,000 interracial crimes. In other words, one race commits a crime against another. Of that 550,000, 500 and let me see if I can get this right. 520,000 were committed by black on white.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it, Joe. I mean, you're right out of the park there. They don't want to admit it, but there are more blacks imprisoned than in proportion to their population, their number in the population, because blacks are committing most of the crime. I mean, it's overwhelming. If you look at the races, if you look at Asians, whites, Native Americans, and blacks, blacks are overwhelmingly more involved in the commission of crime. So of course they're going to be more represented in the prisons because they're the ones committing the crimes. And you're making a really staggering point that over some 550,000 interracial crimes, over 520,000 were committed by blacks on whites, not whites on blacks.
I want to add something, if I may, Jim, for a minute. Joe, I'm going to ask him to add this. Now, Joe was a school teacher in L.A. during the period of time that Rodney King was arrested. Would you tell him what the events were of Rodney King that you saw on TV and everything else, Joe?
All right. Now, let me explain this. There are 22 states that have what they call the organized militia. Originally, the National Guard was the militia. But because of World War I, it was made into the National Guard. So there are 22 states that have brought on board what they call the state militia. In this case, it was called the California State Military Reserve. They called up certain sections. In other words, it's a community project that you're being part of, except it's organized in a military manner. They asked for volunteers to come in and help with the logistics of the riots. Now, the Center for Controlling the Riots, what we call the Rodney King riots, was Long Beach Naval Air Station. It was turned over to the National Guard. And when I went on the base, I could not believe my eyes. There must have been, I would say, an easy 1,000 police cars. And what I found out was is that LAPD can't do it all. So what they do is they have inter-service lending that goes on. And so you have all of these small police stations, Long Beach, Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, that have their own police departments. Well, they'll find people that want to take and make the extra money to volunteer for this duty. When I walked in, it was a bevy. There must have been, I would say, 300 stations of National Guard personnel monitors, in other words, cameras at strategic locations and intersections. Then they had the communication, and this is where the California State Military Reserve was used, because we had run communication from one section to another section, because we had some people that were electronically oriented and they could help things out and smooth things over. So that was the introduction to how riots are dealt with. In other words, they'll say, we want three police units to go to such and such a section. We see groups gathering there, and so they'll send them in. Now, in that, I was able to do something that most people did not get to do. And the entire issue of the Rodney King riot was that Rodney King, you could see 90 seconds of him being beaten up by LAPD with the batons, hitting him on the legs, on the back, on the arms, but not the head. So they said that there were three officers, mainly these were National Guard officers, that were viewing the video. So I stood by them and watched it. And what it was is that the video that was shown to the American public was only 90 seconds. The original video was 3 minutes long. I got to see the entire 30 minutes. And then I understood why the grand jury exonerated the officers. What had happened was is that LAPD received a call from Rodney King's wife. He had just beaten her up. So they sent a couple of units. Rodney King stormed out of the house, almost ran over a narcotics detective who was going around the house. He went onto the freeway, chasing around on the freeway for over 30 minutes. They finally got him off of the freeway. He sat in his car for 30 minutes, and they were trying to coach him out of the car and to get down on his knees. So they finally got him out of the car, got him down on his knees. Two officers approached, one from the right, one from the left. The one from the right went to put his hand on his top, on his hand to cuff him. Rodney King grabbed the officer, pulled him into him, stood him up, and threw him at least 21 feet through the air with a baton flying up over his head. The other officer retreated with Rodney King chasing him. Rodney King must have been hit about at least 10 times with that PR-24 baton. It didn't even phase him. Then the other officers tried to sneak in, and they would kind of swarm him and start hitting him on his legs. He would grab officers, throw them across, grab another officer. In other words, Rodney King was beating up the LAPD officers, every one of them. He had already been hit twice with a taser, didn't even phase him. They finally got him down on the ground, and they started whacking him with the PR-24s. That is what the people saw. And that
now, what did they find in the way of drugs on him or in his system when they arrested him?
He was up on PCP. But the question is, who was behind not showing the entire video? Somebody wanted that riot. Who was it? And LAPD did not respond for over 2 hours. That's where Reginald Denny got pulled out of his semi-truck and had a brick thrown on his head. Now, my question again is, and to this day, I don't know what the answer is, who didn't get LAPD down on a code red station and begin organizing? Why didn't they show the entire 3 minutes? And that's the true story of Rodney King. And the same thing has happened with this thing with Chauvin and Floyd. Floyd, if you look at his rap sheet, he is a thug, like Rodney King. He's a gangster. Now, what's interesting is you see the knee on the neck. Everybody was aghast. Everybody was aghast because LAPD was whacking him with the PR-24 batons. They were aghast at the beating. But what they're not saying is that Chauvin was following Minneapolis's police department's procedure for those who are under arrest. And guess where the technique came from of putting the knee on the neck? Israel.
Training that the police go through when the new ones under Daddy Bush administration or Obama or Clinton, Israeli trained police officers.
Now, let me interrupt you here, Stu, because let me finish this so that everybody gets this right. I had a friend of mine put his knee on my neck. It does not cut your breathing. It's just discomfort. What was happening was, is that he was resisting and had been smacking his head up against the police car on the inside. They finally pulled him out, set him down on the sidewalk, just stay there, don't do anything. They came up, two of them came up, got him, took him around to the other side, and he started resisting arrest again, fighting the cops, and he was handcuffed. That's where it all began. You didn't see the beforehand. Now, what's very interesting about this is that he had just finished trying to pass off a counterfeit $20 bill. The Korean who owned the shop called the cops. Floyd did not leave the area. He went out and sat in the car. Not only that, Chauvin and Floyd worked at a local little resort in Minneapolis, with Floyd working as a bouncer and Chauvin working outside security.
They knew each other.
They knew each other.
Jim Fetcher, you want to add to this?
Oh, yeah, everything about it was staged and orchestrated. I just did an interview with Nick Kohlerstrom, who's an historian of science from the UK. He's a leading expert in the world on the 7/7 subway bombings there, where he cracked the case by discovering that the train from Luton, that these young Muslim lads who've been lured into participating in a drill at the same tube stops at the same time the explosions occurred, could not be there because the train from Luton was canceled that day. Nevertheless, they went ahead to frame them, and when they tried to reach the international press on Canary Wharf, the bombies shot them dead. So they put Floyd into the police car, which would normally be the occasion when they drive him to the precinct for booking. But then they took him out the opposite side, put him on the ground. Everything's artificial, fake, and phony. The EMTs didn't apply proper techniques, attempt to resuscitate. It was actually a couple of cops who put him on the gurney. They handled him roughly. They slammed it into the ambulance to take it away. It was a totally fabricated, put-up job without any doubt. And it turns out that the Obama Foundation actually tweeted a poster memorializing George Floyd on the 17th, when officially he didn't die, he wasn't killed until the 25th, which tells you who's behind all of this. Completely rigged, totally political, a fraud on the American people.
So the Clinton Foundation tweeted this out on the 17th.
Obama Foundation.
Obama. And Hillary, since then, has had a press conference with meeting, I understand, with George Soros. They were on TV together.
Well, that would be surprising. Soros and Hillary and the Rothschilds seem to be the big financiers behind these Antifa Black Lives Matter looting and rioting. And, you know, you're getting all these condemnations that Trump were talking about bringing out the U.S. Army to oppose peaceful protests. Well, weren't they watching live on TV when they were burning buildings and looting and all this other mayhem was taking place? There was nothing peaceful about those protests. So you're getting complete nonsense from the liberal press, giving them a free pass for all this outrageous, unlawful behavior. And let me mention that they attack white privilege. You've never seen before such a clear demonstration of black privilege. Blacks can come up in huge numbers. They can loot. They can riot. They can burn buildings. They can steal material off a slow-moving train. They can try to take apart a FedEx truck, and no one does a damn thing about it. That's black privilege. Lawless. Absolutely lawless. Had whites done any of those things, they would have been shot down in the street. I can't think of a more hypocritical and outrageous distortion of the truth than the claim that these blacks are suppressed when they're looting and burning with impunity because law enforcement is bending over to kiss their ass. It's outrageous and obnoxious and wrong, and I think the American people are dumbfounded that the Democrats are going along with this. This is all happening in Democratic cities, whether it's Seattle or Minneapolis or L.A. or Chicago or wherever. These are Democrat stunts, and they think if they create enough chaos, the American people will blame it on Trump. But I'm sorry to say we aren't quite that gullible. We aren't quite that dumb. It's very obvious who's pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Now, the riots, most looting and burning and stuff is going on at night. They start gathering around 8 o'clock. It gets dark around 9 around the country. And during the day, the protesters seem to be, pretty much calm, pretty much collected. Now, I've noticed since Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I noticed personally, three or four cities right here in the area, Independence and Blue Springs and Oak Grove and some other places, noticed white women out there holding up signs, "White Lives Matter." They're walking among the blacks, protesting police brutality, but they're saying "White Lives Matter." Black lives matter. All lives matter. Now, we're starting to see this. And here in Kansas City, I think it was 100 of them. They showed on a local TV station out there on Sunday with names of black people on it. They were holding up signs. "White lives matter. All lives matter. White lives matter. All lives matter." So I think what we're doing is we're starting to see maybe some patriots, maybe some just women that are trying to bang down because women are, I'll tell you, I've heard too many listeners. Half of them are calm and collected. The other half are going batshit crazy. They just, everything's coming at them. It's just too much.
Well
get out there with your sign.
So white suburban women care about law and order. I mean, this is a burning issue for them. It's why this is such a losing proposition for the Democrats. The police are actually the most admired institution in the country, the Congress the least. Fewer than 20% favor defunding the police. It's well known the more cops you have on the street, the less crime is committed. So their whole proposition of defunding the police, dismantling police departments, is completely lunatic. And the whole country sees it, apart from these far-left fanatics who are out there participating eagerly in the destruction of their own communities. It is disgusting, and the public isn't going to buy it. If they wanted to guarantee Donald Trump's reelection this year, they are doing it now.
There's another statistic that is important And that statistic is concerning the police and the black. The way that the newspapers are portraying it and presenting the events is that this relentless violence of police on blacks. The real statistics are that a black man is 17 times greater to attack a policeman than a policeman attacking a black. 17 times greater.
Isn't that something? And I'd say that's roughly how much more often blacks are committing crimes in this country than other racial groups. I mean, they're way out. I mean, there's just no comparison statistically. It's a staggering difference.
The other statistic that I think is more important is that in actuality, there are more whites shot by police officers than black.
Yes. Definitely
now,
correct.
My question is to all both of you, who stands to gain? And I leave my input at that. Who stands to gain? And by the way, these riots are going all the way over into Europe. It is absolutely horrible what is happening in London. London is now 50% African and Middle Eastern. London, 52%. And they have what they call the knife syndrome, where these young men carry around knives, and it is common to be mugged now on the streets of London.
Well, Joel, that's because they banned guns in London. Once they banned guns, they had an epidemic of knife attacks. And I predicted, I said, what's next? Are they going to ban potato peelers? Because they banned knives. And yes, then they banned potato peelers. It isn't working. It's well known when guns are banned, crime goes up. That's another reason the Democratic policies are all lunatic.
Here's another statistic, Jim and Stu. This year in Sweden, which has a huge African now and Middle Eastern population, they had 249 bombings. 249. And these included grenades and not only that, full automatic fire.
Well, they're working their way up toward one a day, aren't they?
Yep. And they now, every weekend, there will be somewhere in Sweden where they'll burn up cars, set them on fire. This is now in Sweden.
Now, Jim Fetzer, do you think that this George Fuller is dead?
George Floyd?
Or Floyd, I mean.
We even have reports that he attended his own funeral, which is also true of some of the kids at Sandy Hook. I mean, it's just ridiculous, too. They got video of a guy who looks exactly like George Floyd, and they claim, oh, yeah, he had a twin brother. You know, I mean, it's just absurd, the kinds of arguments you get.
Yeah, it's like Sandy Hook. I remember, you know, this little blonde girl and her parents and crying and everything, that she was murdered there and all the other. And she shows up to report at the White House, and Obama's got her sitting on his lap, and he's holding her, the same girl. And they're rubbing in our face in this photo op. She was alive. She wasn't dead. I'm in agreement with you, 1,000%. Sandy Hook was a hoax.
Well,
and you went to court over this, trying to prove it.
We're dead. I have a whole book on it. It's like 450 pages. I brought together 13 experts, including 6 current or retired PhD professors. We established the school had been closed by 2008. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards damaged by hurricanes. It wasn't habitable by students. There were no students there. They took an abandoned school, and they conduct a two-day FEMA exercise, a mass casualty drill involving children, and then presented it as mass murder. We even have the manual for the drill, Stu, which I included in the book in Appendix A. It had sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month when Amazon banned it because it blows the whole case apart.
Tell them the name of your book and where they can find it. Just to give people an example that they can go read of a false flag. That was a true false flag. And you were 1,000% correct in this. Tell them where they can get your book at.
I can't tell them where to get that book. I'm under a court order to not say that.
Okay.
I brought a totally fabricated lawsuit against me, and right now my appeal is in the process, and I won't be able to speak my mind about these matters until the decision of the court is reversed. But I'll tell you this. If you go to moonrockbooks.com, you'll find that we have published a dozen books at Moonrock Book, where I edited eight of them. I edited on Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland and the moon landing. Amazon has banned six of the books I have edited. Think of it as your conspiracy catalog, your research library, if you want to know what really happened. And I've been doing all this by bringing together the best experts on each of these cases to sort them out, because I believe the American people are entitled to know the truth about their own history.
You know, you've got to cover up. Just like this prosecutor where I'm chasing the guy today into the back, you know, the prosecutor's office, who's been doing cyber, who has a server inside doing cyber terrorist attacks. Now, this Jean Peters Baker, the Jackson County, Missouri prosecutor, I went to her within 3 or 4 months after they tried to murder me in 2010 with a car crash rollover, showing expert, not only me, but an expert, showing that they had covered it up, the police department, and it was redrawn. It's on my website, stuweb.com, a redrawing by a professional ex-FBI, ex-highway patrolman. Nobody would even challenge him in court here in Missouri. But all of a sudden, my attorney, after he wins the case, grabs $25,000 insurance is all the guy had, gives 12 to him, puts 12 in his pocket, pays, or a little bit less, pays the chiropractor that I still owed about $3,500 at the time, pays them off. I got nothing out of it. Gene Peters Baker would not take, as the prosecutor of the Jackson County, Missouri, would not take the case at all. Here I have proof and evidence of attempted murder with police cover-up by Grandview, Missouri, and she would not touch it. And today I have a car chase and chase him right into the damn building in the back. Well, boy, am I going to have a report, and I got a hell of a video now since I have $20 Walmart cameras on the back window and the front. Even got their faces. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how this country. And I, you know, I was hunting Baker today here a little while ago on the internet. Who did she come up with good friends with? Claire McCaskill, who was the special prosecutor in the Greitens, Governor Greitens case? Jean Peter Baker. I mean, Greitens, by the way, down here was illegally thrown out of office. He was a Republican.
Stu, it's been a pleasure, my friend. I got things to take care of, but I'm always glad to come on with you, my friend. And Joel,
I want
too.
Before you leave, is there any other report pertaining to this the situation currently at hand that you need to lay out that we haven't?
Well, there's always more, Stu. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for example, was questioned by, of all people, George Stephanopoulos, who asked her, why take money from the police? He said, research shows that more police on the street means less crime. And Ocasio-Cortez was at a total loss. She couldn't come to grips with it. I don't think she even knew. This just shows even the most prominent among the Democrats today have no idea what they are talking about. None. It's embarrassing, Stu. I also mentioned there's a completely brilliant essay. What happens when mob violence replaces police as a standard of authority on my blog at jamesfetzer.org? It's extremely thoughtful about how really that thin blue line represents a difference, the distinction between civilization and anarchy. Everyone out there ought to go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and read it. When mob violence replaces police as a standard of authority, it will make a profound impression.
Joe, do you have anything to add?
No, nothing.
Well, Okay, I want to thank you, Joe, Professor Joe, and Professor Jim Fetcher for being on with me. And it's always my honor. And with that said, this is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com. Have a good day, folks.